When's the last time your life was out of control? Actually, much of your life would fit that description, wouldn't it? Sometimes we need to be reminded that we aren't in control. In the book of Judges, God gave Gideon and Israel a victory. But it was not an impressive victory against great odds. It was an amazing victory against impossible odds. It was a victory that could be attributed to God alone. This lesson is called No Room for Heroes.
God's work never depends on impressive people. He doesn't depend on celebrities either. And as we arrive at Judges chapter 7, it appears that Gideon is surrounded by too many celebrities and not enough servants in his army. Now, from their encampment, they can see the Midianite army over there in the valley, and the Midianites are described here in verse 12 as being like locusts in abundance and their camels without number. Well, over in chapter 8, now in verse 10, we're told the Midianite army had 135,000 soldiers. Gideon is leading 32,000, which is why the Lord's announcement in verse 2 of chapter 7 is so shocking. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" See, the problem isn't the size of the Midianite army. The problem is the size of the Israelite ego. And even though the Israelites are greatly outnumbered, God knows they're going to pat themselves on the back after winning this battle. And by the way, if our victories in life make us swell up with pride, being victorious then is more dangerous than being defeated. Remember, Jesus never said to us, "Apart from me, you can do something." No, he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. So God tells Gideon to release any soldiers who are frightened, and 22,000 of them head back home, leaving 10,000 soldiers to fight the Midianites. But God says to Gideon, "You know, your army's still too big, so I want you to take them down to the watering hole and give them a test." Verse 5 tells us what the test was all about. The Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink." Well, more than 9,000 soldiers are going to kneel down, which implies they're taking their eyes off the enemy. But 300 soldiers crouch down to scoop up water with their hands, keeping their eyes alert and ready. And the Lord says here in verse 7 that Gideon's army now is going to be made up of those 300 alert men. Well, now you've got 300 Israelites against an army of 135,000 Midianites. Well, here's an interesting battle plan as Gideon rallies the troops here in verse 16. He divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Well, now down here in verse 19, the Bible says that they're going to do all this at the beginning of the middle watch. So that's between 10 p.m. and midnight. That's the perfect time to create all this confusion. So, on Gideon's signal, the men blow their trumpets of ram's horns. They all smash these jars that are holding in their hands. And this is going to do a couple of things. First, it's going to expose the light of their torches, making it appear to the Midianite camp down there in the valley that they're surrounded by this vast army. Secondly, it's going to make this loud crashing noise, which is which is essentially going to sound like soldiers fighting. And this sound will stampede their livestock, all those camels, and it's going to create even more chaos. Well, the pandemonium of shattering jars and yelling and torches and ram's horns surrounding this camp literally terrifies the Midianite soldiers. They end up turning on one another and, in their confusion, killing each other. Well, Gideon's men just stand in place. I don't want you to miss this, beloved. There's not one Israelite soldier carrying a sword. This is going to be an unforgettable lesson. You know, you can't be too small for God to use, but you can be too big. Well, here in verse 24, Gideon asks the tribe of Ephraim to cut off the remaining Midianites as they're trying to escape across the Jordan River. And Ephraim responds, ends up catching and executing some Midianite leaders here in the final verses of chapter 7. Now, most Christians know all about Gideon's 300, but few people know about the serious threat to Israel's unity that takes place here. Following this victory, you would expect Israel to celebrate. But chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us the tribe of Ephraim is offended that they were left out of that military campaign, and they demand to know why. Now, you need to know that disunity has been developing for several years. Ephraim is the most prominent tribe at this point in Israel. This was Joshua's tribe. The tabernacle is currently at Shiloh within their borders. Ephraim had assisted Judge Ehud back in chapter 3 and Judge Barak in chapter 5 with their victories. In fact, they're the most famous tribe around. They're sort of the celebrity tribe. But now they're missing the spotlight here with Gideon, and their pride is damaged. Now they're going to threaten to divide Israel. Now, Gideon here could have told them to go jump in the lake. But instead, he answers them with graciousness and tact, which is what you and I need when we have hurt feelings and divisiveness is at the door. He answers them here in verse 2. What have I done now in comparison with you? Now, he's not just flattering them. He's telling the truth. He really didn't do anything more than blow a trumpet and hold up a torch. He says further in verse 3, God has given into your hands the princes of Midian. What have I been able to do in comparison with you? So Gideon here is reminding them that he hadn't fought in any hand-to-hand combat like they had. But Gideon also puts the focus where it belongs. Did you notice he says here, God has given them into your hands. Listen, don't forget, God is the one who deserves the spotlight. God is the only celebrity here in this scene, and frankly, in your life and mine. Now, with that sort of settled, you have a second problem rising up as Gideon and his men pursue the remainder of these Midianite soldiers who are fleeing across the Jordan River and through the territory belonging now to the Israelite tribe of Gad. Verse 4 says, the 300 men who were with him were exhausted, yet pursuing. Well, they arrive here at Succoth, and Gideon asks these leaders of the tribe of Gad for some much-needed food. If you can believe it, the leaders refuse. They're actually afraid here to stand with Gideon. Well, Gideon moves on to the next town, and they do the same thing. So Gideon tells them here in verse 9, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. In other words, Gideon is going to punish them for refusing to help their brother tribes. And the verses following here in Judges chapter 8 inform us that this is exactly what Gideon did. You know, to this day, beloved, disunity and disloyalty are dangerous enemies of God's people. It might be ego, turf, pride. Any of them can ruin congregations, and they have in our world today. And frankly, Christians today can act like the tribes of Ephraim and Gad and show little interest in the welfare of their brethren. Frankly, they might be afraid today to stand up with our brothers and sisters for Christ, for the sake of truth and righteousness. What do you do when that philosophy professor asks your college class, "Is there anybody in here foolish enough to believe the Bible?" Do you remain quiet? What about when your business associates invite you to golf on Sunday morning? Do you tell them, "I'm going to sleep in. I don't feel like it this weekend." Or will you tell them you're going to church? When other believers experience difficulties around you, do you lend them a hand or do you ignore them? Beloved, let's remember what it means to stand together in humility as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's protect the unity of the church family. Let's help and encourage our brothers and sisters along the way. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson called No Room for Heroes. Stephen is continuing through his wisdom journey through God's Word as he makes his way through the book of Judges. You can subscribe to the Wisdom Journey podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That way you'll never miss a lesson. Join us next time as we continue along the wisdom journey.